The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say. We're open line today, so whatever's on your mind, whatever's bubbled up, anything that you may have heard last week on the show or whatever else. We've got a pile of questions to get to. So we'll get through those and in the meantime, call 66 13 68. Get on the air, text or WhatsApp 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Nine weeks on Thursday, which means 10 weeks on Thursday, it's going to be 2026. And as the general election approaches, it's been a busy summer. Of course, Tynwald and Keys getting back underway. In fact, we're starting tomorrow, so you'll be able to hear it all on AM 1368. But lots and lots happened. I just wonder what your thoughts are as we get towards... Of course, it'll be kind of slackened off between now and Christmas, but really come January, that's when people will probably start to declare for when the general election, September next year is the general elections, Thursday 24th of September, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. The booths will be open. You'll be able to have your say by setting the minimum wage at 66% of the island's median earnings. Well, what's happening? We left off in Tynwald. A fundamental change as to how the island determines pay for low-income workers. Now, this may affect you. It may not affect you. But it will affect the Isle of Man.
Tynwald's had a policy since 2021 that the minimum wage should align with the living wage. Government's decided to move away from that, and I think that's a retrograde step.
I can understand their frustration. I think we made an absolute commitment to merge the minimum wage with the living wage back in 2021. But as we've got closer and closer to that time to do it, i.e. now, it's become far more complicated. And we've got now a living wage report that was published only recently, which says that some of their calculations just don't quite work.
Well, there you had Mr. Speaker, Ewan Watterson, MHK, and the Treasury Minister, Alex Allenson, talking about the living wage. It's quite a hot topic, and of course, it's fairly dry if it doesn't affect you, but if it does affect you, either in receipt of it or paying it, it's important. By setting the minimum wage at 66% of the island's median earnings, the government's established a link between economic growth and worker pay, a move which is intended to provide certainty for businesses and employees. The summer then saw the island's politicians head into the annual recess. In September, the Council of Ministers experienced an unexpected shake-up with the resignation of Tim Crookall, the minister without portfolio.
I disagreed with a few things that were coming through, and the two examples were the Northwest Area Plan and the transport strategy. And the time comes when you think, I'm disagreeing with too much. And I had a conversation with the chief minister, and I said, I'm not prepared to support those. And he gave me some time to think about it, which I did, which included that time over the government conference.
Well, that was Tim Crookall, formerly minister without portfolio. Now, minister without place at the table. If you've got any thoughts on politics, then by all means do get in touch. Just a quick word. This is from John talking about, did you know about the Manx Telecom Manxnet service, which wasn't able to synchronise with Outlook on home computers? I'm told it's because of updates to Windows and Outlook and that engineers were looking at the problem, which affected many people both on and off the Isle of Man. So did this happen to you? He said, we couldn't get anywhere because the lines are either busy or you wait in a queue for half an hour, then you get cut off. Has it all been resolved, this Manxnet service? Is it synchronised to Windows and Outlook on home computers? There was a problem for quite a few days. But any thoughts, by all means, get in touch. And here is Julie. Hello, Julie.
Hi. Last time I was on, I spoke to Michelle Hayward regarding a ramp outside my house.
Oh, I remember, Julie, yes.
Yeah, she never got back to me whatsoever.
Now, we obviously, we must have taken your telephone number.
Yeah.
We'll check. I mean, I think we sent it to Michelle Hayward, but I'll check that and just make sure that we sent it to her. So you've heard nothing in the meantime?
No. My OTs have sent another email to Garth Commissioners, and we've still heard nothing. I'm housebound. I can't go out myself because I can't walk down the steps without my husband struggling, trying to get me down the grass bank in my wheelchair.
Well, we don't
and
want
then
that.
Struggle okay. To
well,
try
what we'll do is,
me
Julie. What we'll do is, first of all, I'm sorry that's happened. We'll make sure we'll contact Michelle Hayward and make sure that she got the telephone number. You're on the same number, obviously, aren't you?
The okay. number I'm ringing on.
Okay, well, that's fine. All right, well, leave that with us. We'll get in touch with Michelle Hayward and make sure that that message has passed on, and we'll see where we get with that. Thank you, Julie. Thanks for calling today, and thanks for reminding us all. I want to go to Robert now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, I'm talking about low-income earners,
yeah.
Wages and things like that. I just think they want them to stay in poverty. I just think that, you know, the fat cats and fat heads of Douglas just want people to be as much in poverty as possible, and they don't really care about them in terms of their wage bills and what have you.
When you say,
I don't know what your thoughts are,
when man. You say, well, my thoughts are neither here nor there, Rob. It's not about me. It's your thoughts.
Okay. But
I mean, when you say fat cats, who do you mean?
I just mean business in general. I don't think they really care about where the working class person actually comes on board.
Well, they'd be nowhere without people working for them, would they? So you would imagine they bother about people.
I don't think they do. I think they think they're penny a dozen. I think they can get pick them up as much as they can put them down. I think that very rarely the unions come into play and things like that, and there's no community to Strand Street or any of the restaurants or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, when you say unions, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, in terms of like if there's any disputes or anything like that, you pay into a union if you're in a retail establishment or something like that. It's very rare they pop their head around the door and say, oh, by the way, we're still here.
Right.
How's things?
So are you talking about people who work in retail or in hospitality or what? Because, I mean, the unions, put it this way, in the public sector, the unions are fairly red hot.
Well, you tell me, who's the minimum wage going to affect?
Well, people earning the minimum wage.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's anyone in hospitality or the Manx Care and things like that, isn't it? It's going to be loads of people.
Yeah, but in Manx Care, Manx Care is fairly well unionised. It's a public sector organisation, so the union is right throughout Manx Care. I mean, anywhere in the public sector, there will be unions. It's kind of the way things are. In the private sector, probably not so much.
I think if you look at the price of food and things like that, just to put on a different tact, I think it's just got outrageous. I just think that, is it £15 it's going up to? Am I correct there?
No, I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but lots of people are sending me messages about this. And this one, I got a message in from 404, just says, the minimum wage affects anybody who goes to cafes and pubs, both of which have been forced to put their prices up so much of late, so that people can't afford to go to the pub or to cafes.
Well, I mean, Wetherspoons is still £3.50, and it shall always be for a decent pint and a bit less for an average pint. So it'd be £2 something. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Well, I don't know. I don't find myself there. But I mean,
well, I mean, there are other pubs, but I mean, it's a decent way forward if you wanted to get a pint, is what I'm trying to say. But I just think that the minimum wage needs to go up to where it's at the moment, which I think is 15, but I'm not sure. And that's, I just think that people are just gonna otherwise keep people in poverty, and someone needs to talk up for the working class.
Well, obviously, I mean, what would you suggest if a company, if a business can't afford to pay the wage? You're not surely suggesting the business should put itself out of business by paying higher wages, are you?
I think it should be collaborated with higher business and see what business partnerships they can go into to afford things a lot easier. You know, it's no good just having stuff off the shelf when you can get stuff online anyway. And I think the vast majority of these retailers are just buying behind their computers and saying, well, look, we can get this for this price from Southampton, we can get this from this price from Wales, get this from this price from Liverpool. We'll just see what we can do in terms of the prices and see how much money we can make.
I mean,
out
what would you say if the retailers say we've been absolutely caned by online, so that people can shop in the middle of the night and get things cheaper than they can in Strand Street, Parliament Street, Michael Street or Station Road? They can get, and so the retailers are fighting against Amazon and online shopping.
I agree with that, and I understand where that goes from, because you have to compare sellers, don't you? And quite often Amazon have the high street as well as a shop as well, so they're selling their own stuff, basically. I think that in terms of Amazon itself, it's hard to overcome that, but Amazon had a very debatable point in that they wouldn't spread into the Isle of Man and the Republic of Ireland because it would have such a detrimental effect on the community. So you have to corral against that and say, well, if they're not going to come here in terms of a brick and mortar store and like that, and they're just online, then you have to have something which is going to, you know, do something with that, or not with Amazon, but work online that's going to combat that, you know, and you're just going to have to work against that. I don't know anyone at the moment who wake up in the morning and say, actually, I want all my shopping done, I want it independent done, other than Tesco. I want someone to go out and do my shopping for me. I want to, you know, give someone a phone call and tell them what I want in terms of the eggs, the flour, the bread, the butter, things like that.
Would it surprise you? Would it surprise you, Robert? Would it surprise you if I told you that it's not just people on the minimum wage who are short of money nowadays, that there are people who are earning tens of thousands of pounds who are short of money because of the way things are?
Well, I mean, when you say tens of thousands, I think a lot of people are short of money, to be honest with you. But I mean, that I think you're putting the cat amongst the pigeons, really, because I think the working class man has it all the time, every single day, and he has to cut his cloth to afford how much he can shovel, you know. So I think you just have to go with it, and it's bread and butter in working class land. You know, it's not chips and fish and chips and things like that. At least with 10,000 pounds every, you know, couple of 6 months or whatever it is, you've got you can go out to the fish and chip shop and do what you want to do.
Blimey.
And have a decent meal.
Robert, do you know how much
fish? I'm sure you can.
Do you know how much fish and chips cost?
About 14 quid.
Exactly. 14.
Oh, I'm sure you can do that every. I'm sure you do that every 6 months.
Fish and chips. All right, good to hear from you, Robert. Thanks for being with us today. Legal reform is what's needed, says Shane. There's something seriously wrong with a system that denies legal advice to low-paid workers. The minimum wage, text to 404, affects everybody who visits cafes and pubs. Instead of going on about the minimum wage, then taking it back through tax, the government needs to raise the personal tax allowance so low-income families can keep more of what they earn. Good point. And text to 507 regarding technology and communications. Yes, the Outlook issues haven't gone away. I've been told it's due to a change made by Outlook. which now won't connect properly to Manx Telecom's server. They've raised a case with Outlook, but there's no time frame for the resolution. I still get emails via iPad and webmail, but it's a pain. Is this true about this issue with Manx Telecom's Outlook and just syncing to the whole system? My thoughts on politics. I think it's bent as my knee. Sitting here... Thank you, Gary. You have to be a bit more specific by that. Those are your thoughts, but quite where it takes us, I don't know. You do need to be more... And I agree, you've got it off your chest. I think we should solve the problem of electric dog collars by forcing the dog owner to wear one. Did you hear that story about the dog collars? Thank you, Betty, who says, Andy, do you know when DAB will happen right across the Isle of Man? I'm asking because the Manx signal where I live is very poor and obviously sometimes impossible to make out. Give me the good news. Well, thank you, Betty. The news is not yet. At the moment, we're actually still on an experimental period with DAB. Well, actually, DAB Plus we're on. I think other people are on DAB, but I think it's us and our friends at Energy FM are on our DAB experiment, which is, I think it wraps up next year. But our DAB transmitter covers Douglas, Oncombe, Braddon. I think you probably get it as far up about perhaps Lonnon or Laxey High Street and down to Sandton or so, and then maybe across to Glen Vine at the moment. We'd love to put DAB right across the Isle of Man, but at the moment we are kind of hidebound by restrictions and bureaucracy at the moment. But Betty, as soon as we get DAB across the Isle of Man, we may get you to cut the ribbon on the first transmitter. Thank you for that. a message that says, I don't think John gets the fact that if minimum wages go up, everybody, including those on minimum wage, will pay more. The only true increase in wage is if the personal tax allowance goes up, says Paul.
I know there's been some ups and downs and I've had a no confidence challenge, but we're still offering a great deal of stability.
That's the Chief Minister. He passed that vote of no confidence, didn't he? That was at the government conference. New commitments were made to increase financial aid for first-time home buyers, and the administration announced an accelerated timetable to refresh the Isle of Man's economic strategy. But the headline announcement was undoubtedly the creation of a brand new government body, the National Office of AI Development and Regulation. Well, that quickly led to some of the sharpest political commentary. Laurie Hooper, MHK, openly criticised the method of announcing such a major initiative at a government conference before it had been presented or debated by members of Tynwald.
There's very little chance the Chief Minister would have made these announcements to Tynwald because he would have been questioned. People would have asked him, well, what do you mean by that? And I don't think they've got any answers.
Well, sometimes I wonder whether Laurie Hooper is keeping abreast of the developments that are going on around us and has his eyes open outwards as opposed to just staring inwards the whole time. I think simply it's become apparent that, you know, our attention to this is not at the level where it is elsewhere.
Well, here we are. It all starts tomorrow. And of course, you can follow it on AM 1368. All the political commentary will be there, all the background knowledge, all the chewing it over afterwards. It'll all be there. So by all means, do get in touch. And people who are on minimum wage struggle to make ends meet. So they can't go out to a restaurant or to the pub for the evening, yet these businesses are paying minimum wage. It is a vicious circle. That's Texter 883. Well, something has to happen, and it will come through politics. It will come through our elected representatives making decisions on our behalf so that we prosper. You've probably heard me say it many times here. It's all about money. Do you recall 25 odd years ago? Perhaps you were around then, perhaps you weren't. But 25 years ago, you couldn't move for money in the Isle of Man. Why? Because we had massive infrastructure projects going on all the time. The IRIS system, the gas pipeline interconnector, the new hospital, the new energy from waste plant, Miri Veg, everything was getting built. You couldn't move. So a lot was going on. Now, luckily, all that infrastructure has been built. It's all there. But there's been a worldwide recession. We had a banking crisis. There was the 9/11 attack on New York, which shattered everybody's confidence. So times have changed. And quite what we do about this, quite where we actually, what we do, well, at the moment, we don't really know, do we? We don't actually know where we're going to go. The government's got plans. But remember, we only have a limited amount of reserves. We can't borrow money from anybody else. So what do we do? Text, email, call and WhatsApp and you're on to talk about it. What did you think about Simcox Advocates acting on behalf of Baccarat Limited, who've written to the members of Tynwald objecting to the proposed area plan for the North and West? It's due before Tynwald this week. Simcox, very well-respected legal firm, says the government hasn't updated its national infrastructure strategy since 2018, meaning issues like road congestion, drainage, public services haven't been properly accounted for. Simcox claimed there's been a lack of independence through the process, with the Cabinet Office both drafting the plan and running the public inquiry into it. Well, they say that it creates a conflict of interest, especially as the inquiry's legal advice comes from the AG, the Attorney General's Chambers, which is obviously government-controlled, rather than, they say, an independent law firm. Well, Tynwald's expected to vote on the plan during this week's sitting. The letter has been sent from Simcox, has been circulated to all MHKs and MLCs. So whether any of them take these concerns on board and vote accordingly is something that, well, we don't quite know at the moment, do we? We've approached government for a comment, but we've not heard that much back yet, but as soon as we do. But that's from Simcox. It will be very interesting to see. That's just one of the many things that are up in the air. And we are a bit suspended, aren't we? We're in suspended animation as to where we go from here. If you know, by the way, could you tell us?
Experience Manx Telecom's future-ready Wi-Fi. With a range of new smart Wi-Fi devices to give the best Wi-Fi coverage for any property type. Featuring self-healing technology to reduce interference. And supported by a mobile app, including parental controls for you to take total control of your Wi-Fi network. Our best ever Wi-Fi, available now for new and existing customers. See mt.in/fibre for details, terms and conditions.
Corkill and Callow are the longest-serving funeral directors on the island, relied upon during the most difficult times. We understand that nobody wants to arrange a funeral. That's what we're here for. Our small, friendly team are here to support you, making a challenging time more manageable. With our base in Ramsey and now open in Ballasalla, let us take care of everything so that you can focus on what matters most. Call Corkill and Callow on 855 354.
Don't miss 80s Live at the Villa Marina on Friday the 31st of October. It's the ultimate retro concert. Featuring the hits of Wham, Madness, Madonna, Rick Astley, plus Duran Duran, Depeche Mode, The Human League and many more unforgettable hits. With a sensational cast and live band, this is the 80s party show you've been waiting for. So dress to impress for a night to remember. Get your tickets for 80s Live now. Call the box office on 600-555. Or book online at villagaiety.com.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hey, it's half past 12 on Manx Radio. Modern day PCs use far more electricity compared to old computers. That was after a call last week. And Andy said at the sea terminal, bicycle stands there are two electric bikes with DOI labels bought for use by the traffic wardens. But port security say they've never been used, which is why the tyres are flat. Isn't that just a waste of money? Are they still there, the two electric bikes with flat tyres? James's opinion here. The whole net zero idea, I think, is nonsense. We reduce our emissions by the same amount. Others increase theirs to manufacture the products that we buy. And Gary says the head of a major UK energy provider told a UK parliamentary committee that energy costs could rise by 20% due to their government's renewable strategies. We already have some of the highest electricity prices in Europe, with a 20% increase to about 35p per kilowatt hour. That will be the final nail in the coffin for small businesses, and of course wouldn't help them pay the minimum wage either. And when politicians appear on the show, they always talk about strategies and plans, but nothing ever actually happens before another strategy is written. Strategy writing seems to have become a government industry in itself. If the government used AI to create these strategies, they could probably save on staff and be no worse off, even if the AI-produced strategies were rubbish. Well, thank you, Gary. It's nice to know. AI, well, is it ever going to happen? Well, you may have heard the students that we talked to at Castle Russian High School last week weren't entirely convinced by the future of AI. 616 texts in just to say we're struggling with rising costs. Lower income workers suffer the most. A percentage rise on lower paid workers' wages has a different value to somebody on 20% more. Sliding scale pay awards, I think, should be considered, i.e. more for people on lower pay, scaling down as it gets higher. My thoughts are, says G, that most people are very unhappy and they feel they don't have a voice, certainly when it comes to what the government does and how they waste money. Also, with immigration and the ever-increasing cost of everything, food fuel rates, the list goes on. Thank you, G. Well, that's always happened, doesn't it? I mean, the price of anything has never knowingly gone down. What's gone down in price? Technology, probably. That's the one thing that's gone down in price. Back in the 1970s, you could pay £90 for a digital watch. Now, crikey, you get them for virtually nothing. Where? On the internet, of course. So food's always going to go up. Taxes? Well, who knows what's going to happen to taxes, but it all comes down to money, doesn't it? It all comes down to the economy. And that's, to be fair, that's what the Chief Minister has always said. Get the economy moving. If we get the economy moving, there's a saying, isn't there? A rising tide floats all boats. We wonder why companies aren't taking on apprentices. Can companies pay £15 an hour for somebody that's not yet being productive, perhaps for 2 or 3 years, then maybe poached by another company when they get close to being fully trained? Is there an answer to this? I'm not sure that there is, says Martin of Onken. A contract, perhaps, Martin, i.e. somebody who gets trained as an apprentice can't work anywhere else? I know it's a bit draconian, but you think that could possibly happen. Thank you, Betty. She's having a good laugh about DAB. Tina's on now. Hello, Tina.
Hi, Andy. Hi. Just a quick one. I've been listening to the programme and I'm a bit concerned because a few people have mentioned now that the reality is that not many people will be going into cafes around the island, etc. And that concerns me greatly, not just because of obviously the impact on businesses and staff, but because I rely on cafes to help people in need of a meal or a drink, and kids as well. I run a scheme called I'll Pay It Forward, whereby I give out cards to certain charities. They give those cards to their clients who are in need. Those clients can go in to participate in cafes where kind people have donated enough for a meal or a drink or whatever for somebody who has a card that is in need. And if people aren't going to go in, then the chances are those donations are going to go down. That's going to have a real impact on people at the very sharp end. And not just that, but I also, as part of the scheme, we have cards called Kids Grub Club, and those cards are given to kids on the island, primary school kids who have no facility for a preschool meal in school holidays, it means that their parents don't have to worry about providing a meal for their child. That need is growing year on year, and this is almost 3 years I've been doing this now. And it concerns me greatly that the whole impact will be on people who are at the very sharpest end and in dire need of real help.
Tina, when you say that the problem is getting worse...
Yes, it is getting worse.
How much worse and how quickly is it getting worse?
Well, the past year it has increased considerably. All the charities tell me that. And also, for example, the amount of kids' group club cards which we give out to primary schools, that has increased year on year to the point where up to 1,000 cards go out to primaries. And this is just primaries, not secondaries, for kids who are increasingly having to facilitate free school meals. And they can't, of course. The Department of Education don't provide that facility during the school holidays. And the head teachers are very grateful that we provide this for them. And it's not, I just facilitate it. There's no money changes hands with me. This is all down to the generous Manx public, who are absolutely superb, where they see a poster that says, I'll pay it forward. And they give whatever they can. You know, I'm always astounded by the amount of generosity that there is on the island.
You see,
and I'm not
anybody. We get lots of people listen to Manx Radio around the world and around the UK and Ireland and Scotland, and they think everybody on the Isle of Man is an eccentric millionaire. So the thought that there may be people struggling to put food on the table and to eat will be completely foreign to them. So how widespread is this problem?
Well, that is the reality. I mean, there are hotspots for schools, of course, and I won't name them, but, certain areas need more than other areas. But, yeah, they'll probably be shocked that there is this need, because even on the island, I think a lot of people do not realise the extent of how people are struggling. And I'm not just talking people who are on benefits here. I'm not just talking people who are on the minimum wage. I'm talking people who earn a good salary, and yet, for whatever reason, whatever befalls them, and there's a myriad of reasons why people get on hard times, but that's the reality, is that you can be talking to somebody who's a professional, right, and I can guarantee you that many of them are struggling and have a card for their child who is on free school meals.
Yeah, I mean, that was my point to Robert, in that you're quite right. There are people who are earning, you know, numerous tens of thousand pounds and are bluntly in trouble.
Yeah, they are. It could be short term, it could be long term, but people can be judgmental, I've found over this time. Is that if somebody's going into a cafe and they are dressed smartly, then of course the assumption is, well, why have they got a card? They don't need it, they're not in need. But you don't know somebody's personal circumstances, and I never judge. If somebody is in need, then that's enough for me. If they want a meal and a drink, then that should be provided. And thankfully, there are many people all over the island who give generously to the cafes that support us. And those cafes are wonderful, what they do.
Okay.
But Tina,
if anybody wants to know about I'll Pay It Forward, how do they find out more?
They can find out more. Well, they can phone me. I'll give out my phone number. It doesn't matter to me. It's 424-806. But the people who are in need and who are in touch with the charities, they will get a card.
Okay. And the important thing is that the cafes stay there. They stay in business as well.
Yeah, well, absolutely, because this has a huge knock-on effect. I don't think people always realise the extent of what the need is, you know.
Okay.
And those cafes are wonderful to provide that.
All right. Well, we appreciate you letting us know, Tina. What's your telephone number again?
424-806.
Okay. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay. Thank you.
20-1. We were rolling in money until the UK's dreadful VAT attack happened, says Pete. Yes, and that could happen again. I'm not saying it will happen again, but they're short of a bob or two in the UK at the moment. And they may look at us and think, as I say, that we're all eccentric millionaires drinking port at 10 o'clock in the morning. They don't really know how it works over here. So they could come a begging again with their cap. And then where will we be? Talking of that, I must say I was at the Ravens on Saturday night, did well, 2-2 draw after losing a 2-0 lead. But anyway, it was a good game against St. Helens. And I didn't know that there's a food bank collection at the Ravens as well. They collect food as you go in there. Didn't know there are food bank collections here, there and everywhere. And I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this. The amount of people that are struggling. Now, it could be anything. And as Tina said, these could be professional people. People on tens of thousands of pounds a year do get into problems. It could be a matrimonial dispute. It could be employment problems. Could be anything. Anything can happen to people. And suddenly, those credit cards aren't being paid anymore. And that gets into trouble. And the bank then get on the phone. And then suddenly, that's where you are, in a problem you never thought would happen. And it is happening across the Isle of Man, because there is a shortage of money. There's no doubt about it. And one answer to the problem is to drill our seabed for gas, says Mark, but that requires at least 13 new MHKs at the next election. It's really important to vote common sense MHKs next year. Well, Mr. Thomas, Chris Thomas MHK, has pointed out many times that is the national gas field. It's nobody's gas field apart from ours. It belongs to the Isle of Man. That's our gas field. What's happening to it at the moment? Well, at the moment, nothing. And of course, if they build the Moor Vanin wind farm over the top of it, it'll be difficult to do anything with it. But that's where we are, but that's what we elect politicians for. David's with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Randy. Just question what Mr. Hooper from Ramsey was saying there the other day, who's every now and again just bringing something up to the surface and then seeing how far it'll run. The latest thing he's trying to do is regarding rates around the island. You know, doesn't he realise there's an election next year and we're stuck? I just wonder what he's trying to do. And then having a whinge at the chief minister or the council of ministers.
What do you think? Do you think he's just playing politics, David?
He is definitely. You can see it from miles away, and I live in Onchan. But when I went to the chief minister's conference, where you met loads of ministers, and you could talk to them straight away. You may not see them all throughout the year, but you could actually walk up to them and say to them, "Any chance of 2 minutes? Any chance of 3 minutes with you? No problem, or give us a ring." Some of them do, and come on to you. I mean, I've met the chief minister before in some of the conferences he's had, and just said to him, and the problem he's got is, when you're the chief minister, and you've got a pack of people who are politicians elected there to do work for the nation there, half of them are not doing anything at all. Half of them, I think I listened to the chief minister, was it today, when he accused, well, he didn't accuse Mr. Hooper of not opening his eyes. He's just looking into things all the time and not being constructive. And that's what I want politicians to do. I do as well. It's the same thing regarding, I've sent you some stuff, I won't talk about it today, about the DOI and the conference that's happening with the MLCs in a couple of weeks' time. That's another one where the minister's now trying to backtrack on things and promising stuff, what I can see anyway, that if she's not there, the promise goes out the window. And we've seen in the past government, and this particular government anyway, when things were, we were going to do certain things, we never did them. The horse cars were one, money was funding, money was in the pot, should have been done, and it was transferred somewhere else. We never got really answers to that for the population on that. But I just wondered, and on the conference with the chief minister and all the other ministers and some politicians were there, is that you could ask them questions on it. I mean, I did, and that's how we found out, Andy, didn't we, where the apprenticeship scheme, the cap was taken off, and that was an absolute peach as far as I'm concerned, that we now can, people who have got more than 20 employees can still get an apprentice on, and people can learn a skill for the rest of their lives. I'm beginning an old man, aren't I, Winchin? See you, boy.
Thanks for calling. Thank you, Helen, who just said, what's that number again for Tina? I'll pay it forward. 424-806. 424-806 for Tina. Government shouldn't cripple business via the minimum wage. They should get a grip on the size of government and the welfare state and change tax thresholds using savings, says Gaz. And I forgot to mention, there's no such thing as public money, says 467, only taxpayers' money. And the government needs to remember that and stop wasting our money like it's their own. Well, I hope they wouldn't waste their own money. But you get the point, don't you? And a message also... Oh, thank you, Hugh. Hello, Hugh. He just said, is it true, I heard from a friend of mine, that you're taking Manx Radio cassettes? Well, not... I mean, yes, cassettes of Manx Radio. We're compiling a big archive, an interactive archive, a big... it'll be available via the internet at some point in the future. But Tenacious Tim is putting together that. So if you think you've got any old, particularly older Manx Radio stuff, we're more than grateful to let us know if you want it back, by the way. But once it's all been transcribed, it then goes onto the computer and gets cleaned up sonically, takes all the noise off and what have you. Oh, and I must say hello to Al, who wrote me a very nice letter. It's fantastic. I get letters. It's amazing in this world of internet and email and text and WhatsApp. I still get letters every week, and I really appreciate it. Thank you, Al, who wrote me a very considered letter about the state of the Isle of Man and what we need to do. Thanks, Al. I had a nice cup of tea and read that over the weekend. You can write to me, by the way. Andy Wint, Man in Line, Manx Radio, Douglas Head, Isle of Man.
Feeding friends and family with the finest the island has to offer. The Forge Smokehouse and Grill, Santa. Fresh Manx produce marinated, slowly cooked, grilled and smoked to perfection right here and served in a gorgeous setting. Just walk in anytime, no booking needed. Parties, family gatherings and weddings, the perfect venue for any occasion. And don't forget our large marquee for any event. Visit theforge.im and see.
Dear Santa, this Christmas I would like more customers and more sales, please. I have been very good.
There are more reliable ways to make sure your business gets what it needs this winter. At Manx Radio, we'll create tailor-made advertising solutions to get you the results you want over the festive season and into the new year. Call our friendly sales team now on 682620 and give your business a really happy Christmas and New Year with the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Can I have a new bike too?
No, buy your own.
Oh!
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Ed Space's mission is all about breaking the silence and tackling the high suicide rate on our island. We run weekly, safe, confidential peer-to-peer support groups so no one feels alone with their struggles. Check edspace.im or email info@edspace.im. We're also on Facebook as Ed Space, Ed's Man Club and Women's Talk.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Let relaxation take over, and any plans, projects or conversations, just place them on hold.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
The narrow road steepens and twists to eventually reveal glistening sea and a glorious sun-trapped secret cove.
Shine and connect.
Vitamin-rich sea air relaxes you and freshens your skin.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 11 minutes before one. Just spoke to Manx Telecom, says Dick. As my internet TV keeps buffering and Alexa keeps cutting out, they said there's been a problem this morning with AWS. AWS is Amazon Web Services. So if your Fire Stick, Alexa or Echo is acting up, don't worry. It's Amazon. It's not Manx Telecom. It's not Shaw. It's Amazon's fault. Go and call Jeff Bezos. So that's that. Wait for Dr. Allinson's re-election budget. Don't worry, I'm sure by February the Isle of Man will seem like it's on track and a wonderful place until the new Parliament comes along. Mr. Hooper said that a net zero referendum wasn't necessary as people can express their views through the vote. But what if every candidate standing supports net zero as most did last election? 60% of the voters might reject that view, yet still end up with a green government spending millions without the majority support? Or what if an unsuitable candidate runs purely on an anti-net zero stance, gets 60% of the vote, and then does nothing when they get elected? Well, there we are. What do we do? I just wonder what your thoughts are. That was Laurie Hooper, who was on last week with Joni Farragher, Laurie's leader of Lib Van Joni of Manx Labour, and he just said, no need, this is Paul Quine, their former MHK's idea that we should have a net zero referendum on the same day as the general election. Wouldn't cost that much more because we've rented the polling stations already. The tellers are going to be there already. Everybody's going to be there. So why not just stick an extra pad of paper there for the net zero referendum and another box and do that? But Laurie Hooper said, well, we're having an election, so we don't need a referendum. Do you remember the trolleys in ShopRite, says Charlie, for people to leave an item of food for the food bank 20 or 30 years ago when a tin of beans cost about 10p? Trolleys were full, but now the price of food, people can't afford to leave items now. It's a sad state of affairs. I used to leave something all the time, but even I've been priced out just doing my shopping. I don't buy as much now, says Charlie. Also, John said, high mortgages, rates, car loans, energy costs, personal loans, credit cards, high interest charges, bank charges, before living expenses on food, children's clothing. It all adds up to stress on many people's wages, says John. And a message on also from, this is Lenny, who just said, one of the big problems on the Isle of Man is the psychological issue of a rent pit. That is, renting a house, particularly a private rental, for a price that will cost you more than a mortgage. So the psychological effect of paying rent every month and really just getting accommodation out of it, whereas if you pay a mortgage, you're obviously paying, but you've also got an appreciating asset. You've also got that money, if you like, building because you have an asset. So surely if the government helped people get onto the housing ladder, that would help. Here's Andrew with us now. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Good day to you. I had a notice about this some time ago, but I was only just considering the implications. This is the steam packet and the sailings coming up at the end of half term week, particularly on Saturday the 8th, Sunday the 9th. And this is when, due to the incompetence of somebody, they've discovered that the Manxman can't dock the new ferry terminal because of the design for the mooring.
This is the one in Liverpool, yeah.
Correct. So they've now, or just recently, discovered, in inverted commas, the incompetence of somebody having designed something so that the Manxman can't dock there at low tide because of the fender positions or something. So what they're going to do is they've decided in their non-wisdom, at the end of half-term week, when lots of people will be travelling, to reschedule the sailings for this weekend only to Heysham. So this means that if you were planning on doing a overnight stay on Saturday with, say, small children in Liverpool,
yeah,
to come back on Sunday before returning to school, this means now the boat will go to Heysham and they'll bus you to Liverpool.
Right. So they are going to provide a bus.
Well, let's think about it. There's a bus. There's going to have to be more than one bus, isn't it? If you consider the number of passengers,
yeah,
foot passengers, generally going to Liverpool. So it's going to have to be more than one bus. So they're going to bus people from Heysham to Liverpool. And then, I don't know about getting back from Liverpool. Are they going to provide buses to take people back to Liverpool? But it's like about a 3-hour journey. So that's 3 hours off of people's enjoyment time in Liverpool on the Saturday, and also 3 hours off their enjoyment time in Liverpool on the Sunday
and
before the return sailing.
And still we wait for that new landing stage to be done up properly, as it were.
In Liverpool?
Yeah.
Or in Haitham, I don't know which.
Well, the one in
that I'm more concerned about, Andy, is this disruption to people's plans for the last weekend of half term. Why they couldn't have delayed it until the following weekend, the 15th and 16th, and left the Mananan on. The Mananan can go in, but no, they decided we'll put the Manxman on that route for that weekend. I mean, it's total incompetence from the steam packet.
Okay.
It really is. That they've just not thought of the disruption to travellers. And I'd like somebody from the steam packet to come on and explain why that particular weekend they've taken the Mananan off and put the Manxman on, which can't go to Liverpool.
Okay. All right. Andrew,
cheers,
thanks for
Andy.
Raising that.
Thanks,
good to hear from you. This Wednesday, there's going to be the Axenfell Plantation meeting at Laxey Working Men's Institute. It's on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Garth Commissioners wants to hear the view of residents about Max Utilities' proposal for the sewage treatment works at Axenfell Plantation. They'll listen to you before they submit their own view to the planning process. So that's this Wednesday, 7 o'clock. At the Working Men's Institute in Laxey. Do you want to get in touch out of hours? Email maninline@maxradio.com. Call the answer phone on 682 631. And we're open line tomorrow from high noon till 1 o'clock. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
WINT.